Huddles in the morning, huddles in the evening, huddles in the afternoon. Well, I'm a puddle boy and she's a puddle girl. The Puddles podcast is starting real soon.
Welcome to Puddles with Andrew Collin. I'm Andrew Collin, a.k.a. Puddle Boy, a.k.a. Dry Dick, a.k.a. Poop Hands, a.k.a. 12 Falls, a.k.a. Old Gray Balls, a.k.a. Tickle Cock, a.k.a. Mice, a.k.a. Garbage Face, a.k.a. ATC, a.k.a. I got a great guest today. She was mad at me for 7 days and a half, maybe. I'm so glad that now we are back on track, better than ever. If anything, stronger, on my side, at least. She is a co-host of the amazing Girls Gotta Eat podcast, which has been so generous to me. And I've had so much fun over the last year and a half now. 2 years?
2 years.
Has it been two?
Yeah, it was 2018 summer.
2 years of having some incredible times with this young woman, Raina Greenberg, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. While you're rattling all those names off, my initial feeling was, do you read those off by memory or are you writing those down?
Memory.
Just memory. Wow, you're so talented.
You know, I don't mean to brag, but I brag, you know? Like my brain... It is weird. I actually have a very good, I can memorize really, that's like the one skill I have, you know?
We all need one. I barely have one.
What would you say your number one skill is?
My beauty.
I don't mean to laugh, but is that a skill?
Hold on 1 second. My computer is like stalling out. I don't know why. Hold on.
How's your service?
We're good. We're okay.
What changed?
I don't know. My computer started malfunctioning. It's fine. Let's just hope for the best. I'm glad that you brought up that I was mad at you.
I like that your computer, I go, what's your biggest skill? You go, my beauty. And your computer is like, it freezes on a face like this. Like, it's like, hey, bitch. Hey.
Even the computer was like, we don't want you to make that joke. No one's going to think that that's funny.
Humble yourself. Humble. Dude. Yeah, I know. I'm glad okay, sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm glad that you brought up that I was mad at you because you posted on Instagram that all these women had helped you move your career forward and you only posted Ashley 50% of the show that you were on. But it's fine. I'm not mad about it. I haven't not let it go. I'm fine.
Babe, I thought I had a good excuse, at least in my brain. Like, look, I posted Corinne Fisher. I did not post Christina. Christina's been on this podcast more than Corinne. So my point is that Corinne booked me. So it's any woman that booked me and took a chance on me. Now, any booking after that, all gravy. And after we met, yes, you've been incredibly nice and helpful and not just in career, but as a friend, and you make incredible meatballs. So, you know.
I'm so glad that you're on record saying that. When did you eat meatballs that I made?
You made something. You made some kind of dip. Remember?
I made pulled pork. Oh yeah, for my Super Bowl party. That was the last hoorah. That was the last fun time we had in this apartment. That's now just an empty vessel. No one here.
I know. What have you been doing? Like, you just like read. You just cut your toenails? What do you do?
I read a lot of books. I actually have been reading like a ton. I actually did not feel like super bored during like the first couple months because I feel like we like used the time to do a bunch of stuff for our business. We like redid our merchandise, redid our website, our branding, like a bunch of stuff we just never would have done if we were on tour. And then recently I decided I had to get the fuck out of here. So I went upstate to Deposit, New York.
How did you pick there?
A friend of mine has a lake house there. That's how I picked it.
Okay, cool. Save money. I love it. You're still saving money. You're a ball bit. You're a ball bitch. A baller bitch.
I'm balling on someone else's budget, essentially.
Dude, I've been at my brother's for a month and a half. I don't even know if they know I'm here anymore.
Do you talk to people or are you just like in the attic?
I'm pretty much in the attic. No, we've really bonded over, like, it's nice. It really is. Like, all jokes aside, like, it's really nice to be with the nephews and have some real brother time. I don't know. It's been good.
Yeah. I try to like appreciate the fact that you never would have spent this much time with your family ever. For me, like I'm not with them, but like I've never Zoomed that much. I've never Zoomed ever with my family. So I get to like see my dad's little cute face every day.
Cause we always had somewhere to go. So it was always like, hey dad, here, let's just role play. Well, this is a normal conversation before COVID. With okay, you want to play?
You want to pretend you're my dad? That's the role play we're doing.
Yeah, I'll be your daddy. Okay, no, I'll be your dad.
Okay.
Hey, Raina, what's going on?
Hi, daddy.
What? How you been?
How do you feel about people that call their dads daddy? How do you feel about women in their 30s that call their dads daddy?
Look, he's 60 something. It works. Like he's getting
73.
He's getting older. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
He loves you. I got to tell you, he doesn't remember anybody's name. He remembers no people at all. People I've been friends with since I'm 10 years old. He remembers you.
Wait, are we still doing the call?
No, we're not doing role play anymore. I'm sorry. Back to the incest role play you want to
do. Okay, so hey, Raina, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, that's good. So what you been up to?
My dad does not have a country accent.
he lives in Dallas.
He's from Pittsburgh.
Hey, right. I don't even know what Pittsburgh people say.
People say yins a lot. Have you ever heard that word?
Okay, so how you doing?
Yins. Yins is the Pittsburgh y'all. I'm good. I've been reading a lot of books and eating a lot of fried chicken. I've been really into fried chicken and dips lately.
Is this before COVID?
That's just always. It's pretty much always.
All right. Well, that's cool. Gotta go.
That's about how it goes. Yeah.
Oh, I like that your dad hangs up on you. It's never that way. It's always, dude, my mom, the other day, I called her and she's like, hey, I gotta go. I'm playing cards. I gotta go. And it made me feel so good to know that she doesn't want to talk to me because she has a life going on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Because your parents grew up and they got a life.
Yeah, I got out of the house and then they started to enjoy their life a little bit.
Yeah, and then you moved back home to their chagrin.
Oh, no. I know. I wouldn't go back home. I wouldn't go back to Florida, I don't think. So how was Deposit New York? What was it? Were you like Eat, Pray, Lovin' up there or what?
So I'll tell you, have you ever seen Mrs. Maisel? You ever seen that show? The second season they film at this summer camp. Are you familiar with this at all?
Yes, I am.
That is where I stayed. So that lake is Deposit, New York. And it's like a 4-mile circumference. Like, I don't know why I know that. My thing keeps cutting out. And it was really beautiful. You're like out in the country, you go grocery shopping on farms. We had like a little speedboat we took out every night to drink. There's like not much out there. You just like hike and take the boat out. And like I worked outside. It was really nice to like not wake up. I live on like a super busy avenue, obviously. So I wake up to car horns and fire sirens every day. So it was nice to not do that.
Isn't it crazy when you get out there how quiet? Like that's the thing you notice the first day. You're like, and then did you look at a tree and just want to fuck it? Like you're like, oh my God, nature. Like
that's how I feel about all my plants. I whisper to them. I just want to have sex with all of them. I'm a plant sexual.
If you had to rank top three plants to fuck, who would they be?
Okay. I like this cactus plant right here.
That's going to hurt that ass though.
Oh, that's a good point. You can't fuck a cactus.
I don't know. Maybe it'd feel great. Like just like.
I think that's the horniness talking. When's the last time you had sex?
An hour ago.
With your hand or with a person?
Yeah, it was great. No, I haven't jerked off in a little while, but no, with a person pre-COVID, March.
Okay.
I know you're not, you can't say that.
I gave a blowjob the other day.
And you got a deposit in New York?
I got a deposit in my living room.
Where? Point to it.
Over there on the couch. Which, like, I will, you know, like, my furniture is all white. I don't even like when people sit on it. I have nightmares about people spilling things on my white couches, but cum is white, so I'm, like, less stressed about it.
Cum is an off-white. If cum dries, you're going to see it on a white couch. It's not,
yeah,
it's not like a paint, it's not like, cum doesn't just, like, oh, I can just wipe it on the wall. You'll never know it's there. It's a white wall.
Well, that's why you catch it in your mouth.
So wait, how did you meet this fine gentleman? Was this before deposit?
This was before deposit. It was somebody that was going to be a guest on our show. And I recorded with him here, and then I hooked up with him a little bit.
A little bit. Is that what you call a swallowing his cum? What did you do? You like held hands? No. He came in my mouth. So like,
oh, I can't believe I'm telling you. Why do I tell you these things? Before we recorded, I told myself I wasn't going to tell you this, but whatever. Listen, it's like I've been so celibate throughout all this. I've been sexting a little bit, but that was like the only man interaction, like sexual man interaction. Listen, I was ready for it.
How did it feel to have a dick in your mouth finally?
I hate you so much.
Did you remember how to give a blow? No, I'm honestly worried that like I'm gonna fuck and it's gonna be sloppy. Like
I worry about that with comedy. Like I know that I'm gonna get on stage like in what 2021 when we're allowed to get on stage again, and like it's gonna be so sloppy. It's gonna be worse than the sex.
Dude, I literally am going on stage July 3rd. I like that.
Allegedly.
That's my version of swallowing cum.
Allegedly, you're getting on stage July 3rd. I hope you do.
I don't know. I am a little conflicted about it. But so then what happened with this guy? Did it just end there and he just left? It was like, hey, thanks. Did you even take your clothes off?
Yeah, I was like hooking up with him. We're like messing around, you know? And it was like honestly nice to like touch a man again.
For a mannequin?
A man again.
Dude, that's freaking, I can't believe it. Did you feel sexual chemistry during the recording?
Yes, I like couldn't wait for it to end.
Have you ever hooked up with this guy before?
No.
Interesting.
It was a one-off, and I am not going to share who it was.
We're going to figure it out. The episode's coming out.
Yeah, you'll figure it out, but I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Okay, I won't lean in anymore. It's just so fun.
It's private. You and I could talk about it offline.
Wait, where was Ashley?
She was in Delaware.
Oh, so you recorded with him in the room and with her on Zoom?
Yeah, he came over to record. She was in Delaware. He's the first person that's been in my apartment in 3 months, 4 months. I don't know.
You gotta blow him, man.
Forever. I mean, it's just like, I feel like we all are like so sexually pent up. We're all just ready to like be fucking crazy. Like I wouldn't just like blow a guest on like a normal day. You know, I just feel like.
Dude, can I ask a question? So right after.
Why didn't I blow you?
No. Stop it. Stop. You stop. Why? Right after he blows in your mouth, right? He leaves.
I hate you.
He leaves.
Why is the scenario in your mind that like someone just like came in my head and then like
you said it to not get on the
door?
Okay, fine.
He didn't walk out the door right that second.
You blew him on the couch. Who cuddles on a couch after you hook up?
Who said we cuddled? Like I can hang out with people. People like there is value in me outside of just my sexual adventures. People
enjoy
talking to me.
Your number one skill was beauty. You go. I go. Hey, Raina, remember what's your number one skill?
Yeah, I remember. Beauty. Yeah. Maybe he wanted to sit around and look at my beauty after.
So he leaves, right? You feel good, right? Because this is my thing. I think I just need to fuck once and then I'm good for another 3 months. Quarantine-wise. I feel like we all need to get laid once every 3 months and we're good. We just need the taste. Right now it's like this like forbidden fruit in our head.
I think that people are going to go wild now that like the country.
People are already going wild.
Wild. Like, I just think that like there are no rules. I think people just like want to get out there and touch a person and make out and just like make crazy decisions. Because I mean, the country's probably going to get locked down again. So like people are just flying out there and making crazy decisions. And by the way, I agree with you. Like, I think that like sex is like riding a bicycle. I think that you could like not have sex for like 3 months or 6 months or a year. I'd like you can have sex and you're fine, but yeah, I think that we all just need that one thing because we're like begging for it after all this time being cooped up.
I know. I feel like there's gonna be a window between the first wave and the second wave. There's gonna be like 60 minutes where we're all gonna be fucking, boy. It's
good. Oh yeah.
But
did you hear or no? You're a man. You probably reached out. Did you reach out to any exes during the quarantine?
Ex hookups. Okay. I mean, I haven't had many exes, but like girls that like I had sex with a couple times, that are awesome, like I reach out to them to feel some kind of connection. And it's kind of nice, because without that, we probably never would have talked again. There's a strong chance, you know?
I agree. I mean, look, I mean, there was never a better time than now to reach out to people and be like, hey, what's up?
It is tough because none of them, I mean, it's a good and bad thing. None of them lived in New York. So there was no like pressure to be like, you know what, just wear a trench coat, cover your head, don't let anyone know that you're spreading the disease, come over, climb through the fire escape, I'll fuck you on the fire escape, no one will know, and then you'll get out of here. You know what I mean? Like that. But, you know, they all live all over, you know, in Houston and shit.
I wonder how many people were doing that, because I just feel like in New York I was so careful, and like I never left the house without a mask and gloves for months. I wouldn't have seen anybody. I took a walk with a couple people. There's two people I took walks with, and like that was it. But like I never would have done anything sexual with anybody for like months.
Well, there's definitely a time in New York. There was a time where it felt like a war zone. Like I went to CVS, I remember, to get like Zoloft, and I was like looking at people like they were fucking zombies, you know?
Yeah, it was crazy.
And my anxiety was just like, I was like, like I was literally walking like, especially like the aisles in CVS, you like go by and then someone like comes out, you're like, what? Aisle four, aisle five, aisle five's open, go, 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 you know? And it's like, come on, come on. And then you fucking get worried because the pharmacy is where COVID's gonna be, if anywhere. You know?
Oh, I went to CityMD on the corner to get a coronavirus test, because I was going to drive home to see my parents, like not stay with them, but see them at least. And so I thought, oh, let me get the COVID test. Let me see. I went to CityMD and they take your blood pressure. And the nurse was like, wow, your blood pressure is really unhealthy. And I was like, yeah, bitch, would you feel good being here? She's like, I think you should sit here for like 20 minutes and let it go down. I was like, it's not going to go down. It's just the whole time I'm here, I'm going to have high blood pressure. Let's just do this shit.
Dude, I do. I think it's called, there's a name for that. When your blood
stress.
No. No, like something about like, I don't know. I forget what the fuck name of it is, but it happens a lot where, dude, I had my blood pressure. It was like 190 over like 110. When they're like, your heart is about to explode. And I was like, yeah, well, I did walk three blocks. No, but like, you know, I feel I do the same shit. I've been told that before. What have you been reading? You said you've been reading books.
I've been reading a lot. Okay, so I have some good recs. I've been reading some trash and some good stuff. I read No Filter, which is it's by this girl who's the technology reporter for Bloomberg News, and it's like the definitive book on Instagram, so like how Instagram started all the way up until today. It just came out. That was really great. I read Jessica Simpson's autobiography. Better than I thought it would be. It's called Open Book. It was great. It was all this like information about all these dudes that she fucked. Jessica Simpson got it in, man.
Who did she fuck? What's her list of dudes?
Johnny Knoxville. Sorry, she did not fuck him. She had like sort of an emotional affair with him. John Mayer.
Oh, okay.
Long-term like relationship with John Mayer.
19,000 women.
He's pretty hot. I mean, I could see that.
Yeah. No, I saw her one time at a club in person, and she was absolutely gorgeous. I mean,
it's so interesting when you see celebrities and they never look the way they look on TV. They're either like way more beautiful or way less beautiful.
Yeah, no, some she radiated. I remember like just looking at him and being like, "What the like?" You know, it's hard to stand out in a club too, unless you're. You know, she had bottle service with sparklers, but it was. It was, dude, who else?
Where was this club?
It was in New York. It was like okay. One Oak or whatever. And then this was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know.
And then Alex Rodriguez was a beautiful man.
So beautiful.
I mean, he's like 6'4", 6'3", just shiny. I just remember
smoke.
My grandpa would tell me a story. He was in the elevator one time with Muhammad Ali. And he's just like... My grandpa, I was like, after the story, I was like, he might be gay. My grandpa might be gay, because I think he would have fucked Muhammad Ali for sure. How he talked about it. He was just like, he glowed. He was gorgeous. It was like lightning in a. Yeah, he looked like he was lightning in a bottle, and his cock was huge. I remember my grandpa said that. He goes,
he said the word cock. I feel like sexuality is like a spectrum. I don't feel like anybody is like 100% straight or 100% gay. Like, I feel like there are those people that like would go gay for certain people, like Muhammad Ali.
Well, I feel like I can admire a cock, like a thick cock, or admire like a six pack or pecs and be like, wow, that's fucking, that's great. That's a great combination you got going, bro.
How would you feel about having a threesome with another guy if you didn't have to like touch the guy's dick, but you're both like fucking the girl?
I mean, I told you that was the story on your podcast when I did that.
I forgot about that. I got to tell you, your episode of Girls Gotta Eat is one of the funniest episodes we have ever done. I listened to it like 10 times. It's the only episode I go back and listen to, and I am still laughing out loud in public.
There was something in the air that day where, like, I'm telling you, there's something about being in a studio, especially one that was like, that studio was like a little uncomfortable, like the seating. There was the guy right there. So it made us, I think, all like on the edge of our seats. Like, dude, people still go to me. They tell me about your pet fish. And you go, oh, what kind of fish did you have? A salmon. You claim to have a pet fish salmon growing up.
So here's the thing. I think that I don't like having guests in the room recording with like the sound person or something, but I do find when there's like a sound person, previously we had studios with a sound person in the room with us. I find that I'm funnier because I'm like performing for somebody else. Like I'm gauging if I'm being funny, but is that person laughing?
Say, I mean, that, yeah, I think it's definitely, there's something to be said about being uncomfortable for comedy. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I love
it. You're sitting on a couch and you're just like, you know, a lot of people like that, especially with podcasts. They just want to hear you just be like, yeah, and then whatever, you know, it's cool. And yeah, Black Lives Matter and everything. And, you know, I don't know. I could probably cut that part. But if something like about relaxing and just like not really like engaging and having fun, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. That was an amazing episode. I told the story. I had a fivesome with my buddy Kelly, and he had sex with three girls for like an hour, and I came by myself in the bathroom on accident. Here's the thing. I was thinking about it not too long ago, and I was like, because what happened was is I was hooking up with one girl. Kelly was hooking up with two girls. I went in the bathroom because I couldn't get an erection because I was so nervous and scared. I think I came to protect myself, like not protect myself, like it was a defense mechanism, because if I come, then I have an excuse to leave.
I think it's probably like, I'll make fun of you for this, but I still think it's like a very high pressure situation. I've never been naked with four other people and had to like perform. Like sex is so weird. Like if you watch other people have sex, it's awkward. It's weird. It's uncomfortable. You say weird shit. Your body does weird stuff. Like I can't imagine another three people being in the room.
Dude, it's crowded in there. Yeah, it was.
How many beds? Same bed?
No, he was on the floor.
Okay. All right. I would prefer that. I had one threesome with another girl and a guy, and it was like, so, I mean, even then it was just awkward. Like I think people like grow up thinking like, oh, threesomes are so cool. Well, probably guys do. But like for me, I was just like,
how did it go down? He recorded your podcast.
Yeah. No, I was 19. It was like a long ass. It was like 25 years ago.
Was it was it her boyfriend or your boyfriend?
It was her boyfriend. I would not recommend this. Her and I were like friends. We went to high school together, and she was dating this guy that like I was kind of into, and we like went to a bar one night, the three of us, and we went back to his place, and I like let her talk me into a threesome because I just like kind of wanted to hook up with her man. And they were also like a newer relationship too. It wasn't like a very serious long-term thing, but it really like fucked them up. It like fucked their relationship up, and it caused all these crazy jealousy problems. And I think that she was just like, couldn't let go of the fact that he like agreed to it, even though she was the one that instigated it. She was like, well, you want to fuck other girls. Do you know what I mean? Like it seemed like a good idea when she was drinking, but like when she sobered up and in the middle of it, I left.
Wait, what do you mean?
So it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
In the bathroom?
No, it was worse than that. It was almost as embarrassing as that. It's like 2 a.m. I'm like hooking up. I think they started to fuck. And I'm like watching it. I didn't really want to hook up with her. Every time she like touched me, I kind of swatted her hand away. I'll hook up with girls. I just didn't want to hook up with that girl. So they're like fucking. And I think that like all of a sudden I had this moment where I was like, what the fuck am I doing? What the fuck am I doing with this girl I went to high school with and her boyfriend? Why am I here? This is so uncomfortable. I do not want to like, I don't want to finish and then have to like look at each other uncomfortably.
Yeah.
So I freak out. I like panic. I get up in the middle of this and I can't find my shoes. I can't find my clothing or my shoes. Okay. I grab my car keys and a blanket. I swear to fucking God. I grab my car. It's February. It's 2:30 in the morning. And I throw the blanket over my body in Pittsburgh and I run to my car with my car keys.
What month is this?
February.
February.
It's the end of winter. There's snow on the ground. I am freezing. I have no shoes.
You're butt naked. You're butt naked.
Butt naked and like pretty drunk at this point. I'm in the car. I'm crying. I called my college roommate and she was like, you have to go back and get your clothing. Like you're going to drive home drunk, essentially. I mean, not that I would ever promote drunk driving, but you have to go back and get your shit. So I walk back to the apartment and have to go back into the apartment to get my shoes and my clothing and look at the two of them. I didn't want to stick around for the end of sex. I had to go back after the sex and get my things. You know, you have to turn on the lights and you're like looking for all your stuff. It was so humiliating.
Time out. So were they done when you came back?
Yeah, I mean, they'd answer the door, so I guess they finished. And like, I don't even know if they realized I had left. Like, I'm like knocking on the door. I have his blanket from his couch and my car keys in my hand.
You could have, like, what did you say? Did they go, did you just want to get out of here? Like, what did they say to you? Also, like, why are you stealing my blanket? Like,
I literally have no idea what I said to them. I mean, everybody was drunk. It was so uncomfortable. I think I just, like, mumbled something and, like, grabbed all my stuff and left as fast as possible. I probably said I had to, like, get something from the car. But, like, doesn't really make sense. I didn't take my shoes with me. I was like, I have to leave this situation at all costs. I don't care. And then thank God my roommate like talked me out of it. And also then I had more time to sober up, but it was a fucked up situation.
Yeah. Women, like, especially during the winter, you have maybe 15 things you need to grab.
Totally. And I didn't want to even grab 14 of them. I like had my keys and my phone and his blanket and I left.
Dude. So did you ever hook up with that guy again?
I did actually. So they broke up immediately. Like they had all the kinds of jealousy issues. Again, not like a super long-term relationship, maybe like a month or two, like 6 weeks. They broke up because she kept saying, like insisting that he wanted to fuck me and had like all these jealousy issues. And then once like that relationship was firmly in the ground, I did keep hooking up with him.
Did you remember that blanket? Like did it bring back memories? Did you fuck him at his place?
I fucked on the blanket.
Did you stay friends with her or did she hate you?
She did not really enjoy that part. This also wasn't like a really good friend of mine. This was like a peripheral friend. Like I would never do that to like a good friend of mine. This is a girl that like friendly. I went off to college. We never spoke again, really. I came back to Pittsburgh and we like ran into each other at the bars. This wasn't like a good friend.
Can I ask a question? How long after they broke up did he write you and go, hey, that threesome was great? The only thing that the problem was she was there.
I think it was like a couple weeks after they broke up because he was like in the same friend group as me. So we like were around each other a little bit. It wasn't like a random person. I'm not some like scumbag. But yeah, I mean, all I really wanted to do to begin with was fuck this guy. And I like got to do it. And it was great. He's like.
And I don't think you did it knowing that they were going to fall apart, right?
No, I mean, I also didn't bring it up. She's the one that wanted to do it.
I feel like sometimes girls will test guys. And then the guy fails, but it's like, why did you test me? You know,
I think that there's like a lot of things that seem like a really good idea at 2 a.m. when you're drinking that like, I'm always like, yeah, this won't be a big deal tomorrow when I have to go back to real life.
I remember I was kind of dating this girl in Orlando and we were having sex or about to have sex. And there was a friend over who was like 6'5", gorgeous man. And she's like, let's just have a threesome. And I was like, if he was 5'3" and disgusting, I'd let him, I'd fuck him, you know?
You can't be naked in front of a 6'5" man.
Yeah, dude, freaking, this guy was a like beautiful.
And I agree.
Yeah.
I can't, well, I mean, honestly, like you, okay, so that's the other thing. That's the piece of advice I would give if like you're going to have a threesome with somebody is that, like the other person of the same sex has to be less attractive than you. So 100%. If you're a 9, they have to be like a 7.
I'm good to bring into a relationship. You know, I'm
you froze on me.
I'm good to bring into the relationship. Like I'm not going to have sex better than your current man, but I'll have a good time and lighten the mood. You know what I mean? But after I leave,
that's what
your love for each other is going to only be better. I promise.
For you can't be bringing like supermodels in because you can't tempt your man or your girlfriend to be like texting the person afterwards for like repeat business when you're not around.
Yeah, it happened with you.
Yeah.
But your number one skill is your beauty. So, you know, what can you do?
It was fun.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes couples should just bring in disgusting people to have sex with just to, you know, bring a bond together. But
whatever gets your rocks off, man. I don't judge anything sexually that people do. Whatever makes you happy.
What else? Freaking, are you like missing performing? Are you like losing your mind? We had that idea for, or I had that idea for you. I think it's a great idea to
remind me
do the show at Ashley's farm, and call it "Girls Gotta Eat a Lusa."
Yeah,
and you do it out on the farm. It's spread out. You get barbecue. You have, you know, a good time.
I think you're just looking for a scenario that Ashley and I can create for you, where we will centralize a ton of women and you can come there.
How dare you?
I just know that that's what you want.
If I happen to be in Delaware, where I've never been before, during that weekend, sure.
Okay, but like you're not saying you won't definitely come.
I mean, I might be in the area.
Maybe. You can give people tractor rides.
Yeah, I would give a tractor ride. I don't know how to drive stick, but no, but I think that's a great idea. I think like something like that could be so fun for you guys. Like a Mecca, like, the girls will travel. If you build it, they will come.
I love the idea. I would never want to put people in danger. And I feel like we're still in the zone where like people are like kind of in danger being around each other, drinking and being crazy. I love the idea. I'm not opposed to it, but like maybe not right now.
Yeah.
I miss being on stage. I would do anything to be on stage. We were supposed to go back on the road in the fall. We're not sure that we're going to do that now. So we're getting back updates for it. I mean, like the word on the kind of theaters that we're doing is that they're at 50% capacity. The staff is at 50% capacity, probably too. No one in the front rows, no meet and greets. I just don't know how much fun that's going to be, you know?
I think it would still be fun. I think the people that do go are going to be so excited to be there. I just, medically speaking, if I was like a doctor and a theater came up to me like, no, what you understand is like, yeah, the bar is open, but they're going to stay like over there and they're going to be over there and they're going to be like, it doesn't, to me, it doesn't stop the spread of the, like, it's like, oh,
me either.
Yeah. It's just,
and like you have these theaters that are 1500 people. And even if they're 50% capacity, that's 750 people walking through the door together, going to the bar together. I think people would be amped. I would have a blast. I would love to be like on stage. I love our audience. You know how crazy they are. They're the most fun. They're wild. I would love it. But yeah, you know, we're not going to do anything to put them in danger. So we'll make the call when we have to. We're in constant communication with our agents.
I know. I guess like, you pick, the thing was, is just 2 weeks ago, you could pick states that had very low counts. There was literally no COVID. And that's why we chose Utah and Nashville. And now they're like the number one.
Yeah, we picked Texas and Florida as our first shows. So we were going to do Dallas as the first show where my dad lives, Houston, Austin, and then go to Florida and do Tampa, Orlando, and Miami. And then, yeah, it seems like they're going to be shut down. So, you know, we're keeping up with it. I miss being on stage. I feel like all these comedians like want to be on stage, and we will figure out like some kind of alternative. Like none of us are going to stop touring for a whole year. Like, we've been told like maybe like real touring isn't really going to like start up again until like the spring of 2021, like actual full capacity theaters. I just feel like we're going to figure out like a better way, whether it's like outdoor stuff, more digital
stuff.
People
are doing that with cars. Like they're like Bert Kreischer is doing drive-through tour.
How do you think that is? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I was talking to someone. I was like, when you hear a horn honk, that's the universal sound for get off the stage and stop talking. Ha 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 ha. Like that is the sound for I hate you. Ha ha. Not funny. And I don't know. It's not. It's and what if you hear no horns? That's worse than hearing no laughter.
I guess, yeah, to me, I'd rather just be on a digital screen than hearing all that stuff, you know, not be live in front of people. But I do respect that at least people are trying to figure out what the fuck to do. Cause like, I feel like comedy is like a muscle. You got to exercise it. And like, if you're not going to be on stage for a whole year, like, I think the fear is like, am I going to be funny anymore? Like I said to Ashley the other day, I was like, am I still funny?
You're still funny. That doesn't go away. If anything, this might make you funnier and more real and more in touch with yourself. I don't think I have those feelings too sometimes, but I honestly feel like that, I don't know. I don't even want to have those thoughts.
Are you like writing jokes?
Yeah, I wrote a couple things that I think are pretty funny. I had a couple, I don't know if I don't really want to give away the bits, but yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to. Corona stuff though?
One thing's Black Lives Matters in the sense of like, overdoing it with white guilt where it gets to the point where it's like, can you just stop with that? Like, you know, the tone when you're ordering food from, you know, a black person, like I was in Jersey Mike's and they were like turkey or ham. I was like, oh, I would love turkey. Thank you so much for it. And it's like, I would love lettuce. And it's like, can you not like, thank you so much for the tomato. Right.
Can you just treat them like, can you treat everybody like a person? The same,
don't,
you know?
Don't overdo it. I think a lot of us, we go the other way where it's like, then it doesn't feel genuine. And I feel like I would feel that if I was like, I'm a Jewish guy and some skinhead came in. He's like, thank you so much for the matzah. Thank you. Thank you for the matzah.
Yeah, it feels placating. I see what you mean.
It's like, I'd rather you.
I'm excited to get on stage and joke about like coronavirus and all the disgusting thing we all did while we were quarantined and all the disgusting decisions we made. I'm excited to do that.
Like disgusting how? Like with our own bodies?
Yeah, like how far we all got pushed or, you know, that I blew a show guest.
That was like really that. Towards the end of this?
Yeah, that was last week. So, you know, when it was safe to start giving blowjobs again.
It's I was talking to this girl. I do this like speed dating show. I don't know if you even know, but like on like Monday and Wednesday and Friday nights. Well, now just Monday and Wednesday, but like at 11 o'clock, and I go on speed dates. I just have girls request and I go on like 3-minute dates.
You do?
Yeah. And I go on like 6 dates a night. And it's getting like 500 to 900 people in the lives. Like, stupid.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's so fun. And I, you know, I have real connections. I make real connections with these women. And, but most of them don't live around here. But this girl the other night lives like 5 minutes away from here.
This is so interesting to me.
And it's, and so I was like, why don't we go on a real date? And then she hit me up in the morning, like literally the next day. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is so bold of her. I love that. I love when a girl doesn't wait 2 days. She's just like, hey, what's up? Let's get coffee and hang. And it's like, oh, all right. Like,
I don't ever wait.
Huh? You never wait?
I don't ever wait. No, because I just feel like you meet someone, you can tell if there's a vibe or not, you know? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, acknowledging that there was a vibe and being like, hey, let's chill. And, like, what's the worst thing someone's going to say to you? Like, ooh, gross. Or they're going to ignore you and then fuck that person. You know, like I see girls on dating apps a lot. They're like, I don't want to be the first person to ask him out. It's like, it's a dating app. That's what you're there for. Just ask the person out. And if they don't want to see you, then like, I think people feel that it's like a huge reflection on themselves if somebody rejects them, but it's like, this person literally knows nothing about you. And if they rejected the way you look, fine. You've rejected the way other people look too. It's not, it doesn't define who you are as a person.
And I don't want to be with someone that goes, they should have waited 2 days. I can't believe they didn't wait 2 days, dude. Like, that shows she's overeager, and boy, she must be crazy psycho and so, like, you know what I mean? Like I feel like there people will, like, start to generalize in dating when I think what it says to me is, like, oh, she's not going to be in the future, like, really anal about, like, have, because I hate, like, scheduling. I'm not, like, especially when I'm dating someone, I don't like being like, so we're going to go out Thursday night from 7 to 9. We're going to go to this restaurant. We have to go to here. I'm more of a, like, hey, let's walk down the street and stumble into a tapas place or whatever, you know? I like that. That's how my brain works.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm looking for. So, like, sometimes you'll go on a first date and a girl will be like, okay, yeah, I'm open 2.5 weeks from now. You know, and by then you're like, wait, what? Like it's hot now. Like, right now.
I like spontaneous plans, just because, like, I stress out about long-term plans. Like, I hate that, like, Tuesday night I have plans. But if somebody texted me right now and was like, do you want to walk around, like, get some drinks? I'd be like, fuck yes, absolutely. And I think that there's, like, a fine line between being, like, desperate and overly available and just being, like, excited to see a person and down for whatever. And I don't know, like, how to call it, but, like, I know, you know it when you see it. And, like, sometimes the only difference is between liking somebody and not liking them. Like, I think if you don't like a person and they keep trying to see you, it feels desperate. It reads desperate, but that's just because you don't like them.
So true. It's so true. I was, and what's funny is she wrote me, I wrote her back. I go, hey, I love the enthusiasm. I was, like, doing something. I was like, can we do it later? And she's like, yeah, I was being bold. Let's get coffee in the afternoon and be crazy. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's great. And then she didn't write me for, like, hours. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I convinced myself that she has a boyfriend and all this. And she's like, yeah, I was taking my mom to the hospital because my dad couldn't. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, that's a good excuse.
Well, I always tell people that you should have a life that, like, you're really busy and you have interests and stuff to do, because, like, it is so easy to spiral like that and start inventing all this crazy shit in your head. And it's like, I don't know, some people are just busy, you know, they just don't. I suffer from that. I suffer from the opposite. I suffer from being too available. And I do think it's, like, not a great trait. Like, it's not an attractive trait in people. Like, I am.
Why is that not attractive? It's so fucking annoying. It's like, can't we just be available? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I think I'm too available. First of all, I don't have a conventional schedule. So, like, I'm not at a job 9 to 5, like a normal person. I'm not available when I'm on the road. I just don't really think about people other than, like, me and Ashley and, like, the work we have to do. But I think that, like, I love texting and being silly and fucking around and, like, jokes all day long. And I think, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of mystery sometimes in the beginning. And I'm really bad at creating that.
Yeah, I think I fucked up because I was just like, she's like, I was like, yeah, maybe later. And then I was like, so one, oh no, maybe 12. And I wrote like 3 texts, like quick texts. Mm-hmm. But it looked like I wrote to myself, which you never want to, like, answer your own or like replan before she plans. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, so after 12, actually, I can't do it till 1. Is 1 cool? Oh, how about like 2? And then it's like,
I'm just like, just be cool. But the fact is, like, dating is weird and it's awkward and meeting new people is fucking awkward. Like, that's okay to, like, embrace the awkwardness. Like, not everybody has to be this, like, cool, collected, super busy, too above it to, like, get involved kind of person, you know?
That's why, like, I was watching Normal People and, like, everyone's like, God, he's so cool and quiet and so mysterious. And I don't know, when I get cool and quiet, I think the girl's like, it doesn't feel authentic. It's just like, this guy is weird. Like, he's choosing not to talk. You know what I mean? Like, I guess there's some guys that you can sit at dinner. Like, I'm sure you've gone on dates where a guy doesn't talk much. He's just one of those guys that, like,
oh, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I need like, I think, like, on a list of, like, you know, everybody has their list of things they want. I want all the things, like, normal people want. I want, like, somebody who's, like, smart and fun and loyal and kind, all that shit, whatever. But, for me, like, the number one thing is, like, I need somebody that I have, like, funny banter with. I need, like, the constant crazy back and forth that you get with a lot of, like, New York City comedians. You know, like, I love people that have, like, a ton to say. They're always, like, laughing. They're observing what's around them. That's very important to me. If I sat at dinner with you and, like, you don't really have much to say, if you don't ask any questions about what I'm up to, if you don't have any, like, leading questions, follow-up questions, if you don't offer me any information about your life, I will never go out with you again. I'm not here to, like, be your little clown and entertain you. Like, you're here to entertain me and I'll entertain you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I love when, like, I'm with you. I agree, like, 1,000,000%. That's exactly what I like. It is funny when a girl will be like, a guy eventually will be like, you know, real quiet. And then an hour later, he's like, or maybe like a week later, he's like, yeah, I never told anyone this, but I get sad sometimes. And you're like, oh my God, he fucking opened up to me. He told me he gets sad. And it's like, and it makes it so, I'll tell you I'm sad before we even get appetizers. You know what I mean? Like,
see, I think that people are always like, you know, when is it too soon to share, like, shit? I think
right
you
just
gotta, like, you gotta read the room. Like, sometimes it's too soon, and sometimes I'll have dates with people where, like, I'll share my whole life story. It's just like, you gotta read the room. I don't mind talking about, like, politics and sex and religion if it's the right person.
Yeah, dude, I've been on so many first dates and told them I got arrested for speeding on a jet ski in a manatee zone. And a lot of it is like, I just want them to like me, and that's how I envision people liking me, by being self-deprecating and letting them in on a wild story. Mm-hmm. But some people are like, why are you telling me you get arrested before, you know, fucking dinner's here? I don't know. It's yeah, you definitely can overshare, but that's what I like. I don't know.
I don't think it's weird. I don't think it's ever, like, too soon. You just got to read the room. That's all. I just, like, some people you have that vibe with right away and you'll share that stuff with. Like, I had this, I'm usually somebody who doesn't mind oversharing on a first date. Like, I don't give a shit. I'll tell you whatever you want. But I went out with this guy in Australia when we were there in March performing, and I met this guy at a bar, and he asked me if I wanted to go out the next night. And it's just, you know, you're there for vacation sex. You know, you're only there for, like, 24 hours. So I met him at this, like, rooftop bar at the hotel, and we, like, have a drink.
Oh, you love, like, a roof.
I do. I love a roof. I mean, who doesn't love a view?
So you meet him at a rooftop. Sorry, I didn't. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
No, it's okay. I met him at a rooftop bar at this hotel. And right away, he, like, launched into this whole conversation about, like, spirituality and religion. And, like, I was just like, this is too soon for, like, the vacation sex date. Like, can we not do this on this date?
But he lives there, though, right?
Yeah, but I was vacation sex.
I know, but he doesn't have vacation brain. That's like, he got groceries that day. He paid his taxes. And you're like, can you just talk about eating my ass on top of an umbrella?
We just keep it a little bit lighter. Like, if we're 2 minutes in, I don't need to hear about whether he was telling me that, like, and by the way, he was great. We had a really fun time. He actually, like, did reel it back in. But, like, we were talking about whether or not he wants to have kids and get married within, like, the first 15 minutes. And I was just like, can we just have, like, a casual roof date? He did eventually reel it in, and we had some crazy vacation sex.
Where did you do it? In the hotel room?
We did it at his place, and then we walked back to my hotel, and then we did it at my hotel again.
Do you still talk to him?
You know what's really crazy is we talked for a few days, and then just, like, sort of shut it down. I mean, all this the coronavirus stuff started. The minute I landed in the United States, like, we started quarantining, and there's just, like, no reason to talk to that person. But he texted me today.
Really? Just randomly?
Randomly. It was just like, you know, watch the news, see this shit's, like, getting crazy again in the United States with the coronavirus. Just wanted to, like, see how you were doing and, like, what you're up to. It was, like, a nice conversation. It ended with some nudes, and that was it.
Some back and forth nudes?
Yeah, some back and forth nudes. But mine are, like, nice, classy. Like, I sent him, like, I sent him, like, a bikini pic, you know?
Yeah.
I just, listen, you can't be out here sending photos with your face in it and your naked body if you barely know a person, you know? That's a crazy thing to do.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, you could be like, oh, you know, I sent it all the way to Australia. It's all the way over there, you know?
Right, right. But, like, I'm, you know, I'm so famous. I just, you know, I can't be out here setting myself up to get blackmailed.
I don't know. It might be nice. It might
get blackmailed?
It could only help you, probably.
I never send a nude that I would mind being leaked. It's like, my body looks nice. I'm active. Yeah. I eat well. Like, my body looks nice, but I would never put my face in any of the nudes, just in case.
Well, I mean, that's your number one skill set.
It's my face.
Yeah.
Above the neck beauty.
The Australians, like, they're hot men. They're probably the hottest men, I think. If I had to rate them, they're all lean. Like, they all have insane bodies. They have that accent, which make, you know, the dumber the American woman, the more they fall for an accent within seconds. Uh-huh. I mean, even a smart American, like, any woman they hear, like, when I lived in Florida, there would be, like, Australians or English guys in the bar, and no knock against Florida girls, but they heard that accent, and it was, you might as well think this guy was a billionaire with, like, 6'8" and a huge cock. No, this was like an ugly English man.
Okay, English and
Australian are
totally different to me. Yeah. But I have, like, such a weakness for Australians. Actually, I was saying this the other day to somebody. I was like, holy shit. In the last, like, year and a half, I've, like, dated or hooked up with, like, five people, slept with or dated five people. Three of them are Australian. One of them lived in Australia. I have, like,
you hooked up with two Australians in New York. How did you meet them?
One of them is my neighbor.
Okay.
And one of them,
the guy you met on the roof.
Yeah.
Another roof. All you need is an Australian, a roof, and a penis.
I mean, what? That's all the good stuff in life.
I agree. I feel like Australian too. Like, they have this way of their life. Like, yeah, hey, all right, yeah, up to 30 years old, we're just gonna travel and be hot and just, you know, just live life and smile. And it's like,
there is a lightness to people that are Australian that does not exist in other cultures. And they are still, like, really smart, but, like, so many people in Australia grew up on the water. They grew up in, like, nice cities. They're educated, but there just is, like, a lightness to people in Australia, like a natural lightness that I really enjoy.
I know, especially when you live in New York. Like, I'm already feeling so much lighter being outside New York. Like, you know?
I got back yesterday from being upstate, and I was like, fuck this. I hate it here. I mean, listen, the best thing about New York, I'm not, like, this is like a hot take. The best thing about New York is that you go to comedy clubs and go to restaurants and bars, and there's great shopping, and there's people around, and everybody you meet's interesting and fun. Well, not everybody, but a lot of them. And it's like, when I can't do any of that stuff, it's just a dirty city full of buildings, and I don't really want to be here.
Where would you live? Like, I was thinking about this the other day. If it wasn't LA or New York, what city, what are your top three cities that you would literally think that you could live in?
I would love to live in Sydney, in Bondi Beach.
I feel like your phone is just so many Australian, like, hot men. Just,
I like them.
Yeah, you do.
I love Sydney. I would live in Bondi Beach if I lived in Sydney.
I wasn't even thinking outside of America. Wow, this is like a whole...
In America, it really is probably the only place outside of America that I would live, I think, that I'd been to and would live. I really love Charleston. I'd live in Charleston.
I'm a fan of Charleston.
One of my all-time favorite cities. I love it there. I would live there. I could probably live in Austin. I really enjoy Austin. I enjoy Chicago. I enjoy San Francisco. And I enjoy the people in those cities. That's important. So there's, like, some cities where I don't love the people, so I wouldn't necessarily live there. And I don't care to insult anybody, so I'm not going to elaborate on that. Where would you live?
I was thinking Austin, but I feel like at this point, Austin is, like, not that – interesting. Like, everyone, I feel like that's, like, such a, I mean, their traffic's horrible. Like, there's overpopulation. Like, there's a ton of home. Well, I don't know. It's hot as fuck during the summer, but Lake Austin was cool. And people seem to be pretty chill.
People are cool there. People are really laid back there. It's a great food scene. It's a great drinking scene.
Yeah. I had great shows in Austin. Some of my favorite shows, I think, were at Cap City there. San Diego, and then I was thinking Miami. I'm from Florida. My parents live down there. Miami's hot. It's like a fun place to live. It's on the water. I don't know. And then where else? There was one other place. I think that was it, though. That was pretty much it. I don't want to live in cold weather anymore.
I don't either. I think one of the coolest things about comedy, though, is that we've gotten to, like, go to, like, I've been to every city in the United States. It's, like, a major city, and I would have never, ever gone there. Like, I wouldn't know that, like, Minneapolis was so fucking cool because I never would have gone there. I wouldn't have spent a lot of time in, like, San Diego for any reason.
But you and Ashley, like, you're at the point, and, you know, I'd love to get there, but you literally are already at the point where you could make a living from anywhere in the world. If you chose that, you didn't have to, like, record in person with Ashley, which I'm sure, you know, by doing this, I'm sure you've looked at your numbers for the podcast to see if it's gone down because of that. I haven't seen that much of a decline due to Zoom versus being in person. So you really could live anywhere. It's an interesting, because I thought about that. Like, I'm not there yet financially, I don't think, where I could just pick another city. And then part of me thinks, well, would, if I did move to a place like Nashville or whatever, would people stop thinking I was as interesting because I didn't live in New York or LA? Would I miss out on things?
I mean, I'm not on stage doing, like, comedy at comedy clubs like you are. I think that, like, New York is the place to be if you want to do that. But yeah, Ashley and I have never recorded remote. We always refuse to record with guests remotely, so we've always sort of been at bay with people scheduled and when they're going to fly to New York. I have learned through this how to do remote interviews, but I will say I just enjoy them better in person. Like, we've done three in-person interviews. We're doing our third one today. And it's just such, like, a joy to, like, be with people on the couch, to, like, sit around with them and bullshit and hang out and then have them, like, hang out after. And it's just, like, a different vibe to, like, dick around with people in person.
No, it is.
I like it better.
I just, like, I don't know. I kind of love the idea of just doing a podcast and living in a city that, I don't know. Sometimes I just want to change. I was in New York for 10 years. I know you were there, I think, just as long, if not longer, right, in New York?
I've been here for 12 and a half years. Yeah, I'm with you. If I move somewhere, it'd be somewhere warm, somewhere on the water probably. That's why I really I like coastal cities. Charleston's, like, my perfect city because I think it's, like, cosmopolitan enough. It's laid back enough. The weather's good. You're on the water. I love it. The Manor, pretty sexy.
Yeah, yeah, Charleston down there. My buddy Aaron's from there. I've visited Charleston 3 times. And it's quaint. It's nice. It's Danny McBride lives there, who I'm obsessed with. So I think we'd be best friends, like, within a week, you know, for sure.
How would you find him? Just on Instagram?
I would just ask around. I'd go to the local bait shop and just be like, hey, have you seen a curly hair guy?
What's
with
his
a
address?
Goatee? Yeah. I'd say we start up our own podcast network somewhere in Charleston and we just rent a building and we all hang out all day. We have, like, a popcorn machine and one of those machines where you get, you know, the toy, you know?
It'll be you and your harem of women, all the women that have helped you, like, not me, but Ashley and Corinne and Nikki.
So where can they find you, Raina?
I am the co-host of Girls Gotta Eat podcast, new episodes every single Monday on iTunes and Spotify and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Website is girlsgottaeatpodcast.com. Instagram is girlsgottaeatpodcast. And then, of course, my Instagram is reina.greenberg. There's 2 Raina Greenbergs. I'm the one with the larger following.
Of course. I honestly wanted to actually, we could do this another time, but I wanted to talk about whatever. I hate when I do this. I always do this. I always say bye, and then I'm like, so let's talk about this real quick. And then
you know, it's like, remember, like, tapes? Remember at the end of tapes, if you listened to tapes for, like, 20 extra minutes, there was, like, a bonus track at the end?
Song 41 for Dave Matthews? Hell yeah. Or
Green Day. I was thinking about the Green Day Dookie album.
Yeah, Green Day. I'm alone. I was all by myself. No one was thinking. I was thinking of you. Yet did I mention I was all by myself? Remember
all
that?
All by myself. Okay, what all did you myself. Want to ask me?
I mean, I guess we can. I guess, yeah. Okay, might as well.
One more question, and then I'm going to go get my laundry.
Yeah, it's not even, like, that big of a question. It was just, like, the idea of, like, you, before you got into comedy, you were, like, a food, like, blogging machine on Instagram why did you start doing that, taking pictures of food, and how did you turn that into an insane amount of people to follow you? Like, what was it about?
I think a lot of it was like right place, right time. I was like an early adopter to Instagram. I always worked in the food world. I was like a waitress, a manager. I managed restaurants for Danny Meyer. I went to culinary school. So I've always like been into food. And I just used to take all of my free time and money, like went to restaurants, like cheap stuff, like affordable stuff, and approachable things. It's all I ever cared about when I traveled. It's like, that's what I wanted to do, was like learn about food. And so I was like, I guess I should put these photos somewhere. And a girlfriend of mine was like, you should start like a food Instagram. And I was like, what kind of loser has a food Instagram? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, who would do such a thing? I think this was like 2013 or 14, probably 2014. And, yeah, I started putting them on Instagram, and I don't know, I think that like my food photos got like 15 likes as opposed to like a photo of me that got like 5 or 10. I was like, oh, cool, this is neat. And I just had a lot of content because I was going to new restaurants pretty much like, I don't know, 3-4 times a week. I was just like made a list of like cool shit I wanted to do in New York, and I just was doing it and taking photos of it. Within about 6 months, I had amassed like 10,000 followers. And then I think like social media and marketing started changing, where like a lot of ad agencies and PR companies were like, oh, we should use social media to like push products. The fashion world was the first. Like Instagram really, if you want like a little nerdy history of Instagram.
You did just read the book, No Filters.
No Filter. They really focused on fashion and not food. But restaurants started figuring out they could promote their dishes through Instagram for free by just inviting like influencers in to eat. And that was like a very new concept. So I was like getting free meals at restaurants for posting a photo. And I was like, this is dope. And then within 8 or 9 months, I had 100,000 followers, and it just like ballooned from there.
Was there an article that like blew it up, or was it just over time, just like a little bit here and there?
I was early on. I was one of the first. I had good content. I had constant content. I just think it was like a unique thing back then to have a food Instagram account. Now it's not that unique. But then I also pivoted and tried to always like do better. So like I bought a camera. I learned how to shoot. I built a website. So like that stuff lived forever. I was just always trying to like be better. And then I would see that all these like influencers were being invited to the same restaurants. And so I wanted to like not have the same photos as everybody. So I started messaging restaurants and be like, can I come in? This is my platform, whatever. So I was like giving people better content. I started traveling a lot and doing like a bunch of deals with like tourism boards, Delta, American Express, people like that. And then you get like sponsored brand deals the way that like a magazine would get an ad, you know?
I'm surprised a Food Network show hasn't like, or maybe they already have, like you'd be great on that as like a host of one of those, like driving, you know?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew.
I know.
And then it just stopped being less sort of enjoyable, and I started to feel like I need the next thing. Like I don't know what it's gonna be, but like I can't be a 30-year-old food blogger. And like, because the money was just inconsistent, like I just never knew like when I was gonna make money, and that personally made me feel really stressed out at the age of 30. Like my brother was getting married, and I felt like I can't even afford like a gift for him, like buying the wedding dress, the bridesmaid dress, and having to like fly there, get a hotel, all that like was stressing me out. And I started to feel like, I don't want to live like this. Like, what's the next thing that's more actionable? And then I went on this press trip, and that's where I met Ashley. And she said to me, you know, I've been working on this concept for a podcast. I just thought it might be a cool idea. And I was like, yeah, I'll do a podcast. And that was it. We started the podcast, and I quit the food blog 1 year later.
Isn't it so awesome to like, you didn't know why you were doing the food blog. You just did it. You just worked. And I don't know. There's something amazing about like building a following through hard work. And I don't know. And not really knowing why you're doing it. And then it just comes together. Like the world's just like, oh, by the way, you were doing this so you could eventually reach, you know, thousands of people. And share your story about blowing a guy on a roof. You know what I mean? Like,
I think people message me and they're like, how do I find my next passion? How do I become this like big sensation in X field? And it's like, I didn't start off to do that. I was doing something I liked that I was good at. And because it was genuine, I think it took off. And because people could see that I enjoyed it, they followed it. And like it was sort of this cyclical thing where I thought people were following it. And then I was like, okay, I have to be better at this. I have to be different. I have to do the next thing, change, push, do better. And so like I kept doing that. Like I didn't wake up one day and decide like I'm going to be one of the largest food and travel Instagram accounts in the country, which it was. It was huge. And I just did what I liked and like the money came after that. But it was a calculated risk. I had a full-time job. I worked at Amazon. I wasn't like doing this full-time.
Yeah. Well, there's something to be said about when people are like, well, I can't have a full-time job and do this. It's like, yeah, you can. If anything, you're going to be more motivated to work within those 3 to 4 hours that you get a day than if you had 12 to 14 hours to do whatever the fuck you wanted. I think, at least that's how I work. I don't know.
I agree. I was super miserable for like a while. I was like doing, I was at Amazon all day and then I was like running around at night trying to like get content and meet people. And it was just like, I was so miserable, but like it was like a means to an end. Like after a few months, I was like, I have to choose, you know?
Well, there's also something to be said about, I feel like comics and a lot of people will look at like influencers and write them off like, oh, whatever, they're just influencers. And there is hard work behind it. And not only is there hard work behind it, that person is aware most of the time that they're just in it, like that they're not doing rocket science. You know what I mean? Like you were like, what, am I going to be a fucking food blogger? But you enjoyed it and you did it. But you're aware just as much as the person critiquing that kind of person. I don't know. I'm just saying, if you're going to talk shit about influencers, why don't you fucking go out and do something, motherfucker?
I mean, you could talk shit on anything, but like, no, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I met people. I made money. I like pivoted. I did the next thing. I mean, you can make as much fun of it. Like, I do think I had friends that like really rolled their eyes and thought it was fucking stupid that I was like taking pieces of my bread. Like, that allowed me to leave my full-time 9-to-5, write my own schedule, and I have never been in an office since 2015. So who's fucking laughing now?
We are in Charleston, motherfucker, with Danny McBride. Dude, I love you. I'm so glad we got through our rough patch of 3.5 hours.
Love you.
I do. I can't wait to hug you in person and sit on that couch with you.
I know. I can't wait to have you here. I love you. All right. Well, we'll
get tattoos again.
I actually I need another tattoo. I need one really badly.
Oh, your cat. We got these together. I got Jackpot. She's got Girls Gotta Eat. We went to the shadiest place. They didn't even have ink. They were like, you mind if, did you bring ink? Did you bring a knife? That place didn't even have like a bed to lay on. Like we definitely got hepatitis so shitty that day.
It was so shitty, but I'm ready to go back. I'm ready for more tattoos. As soon as you are, let's go get more.
All right, let's go to like a cool place and actually get like fucking dope ones.
Yeah.
Maybe like a unicorn, like with both of us on top of it.
I'm going to get you riding a unicorn on my butt.
I want to be that unicorn so bad.
On riding my butt.
Hell yeah, girl. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. All day. Love you.
Love you. Puddles. Bye.
Puddles. Everybody now puddles. Puddles. Everybody now puddles. Everybody get up because you get down.
If you're getting too close, you know you're getting wet. If you're getting too close, you know you're getting wet. You're standing in deep, you're getting real wet. You ain't that deep because you're kind of shallow. Shallow in the brain and shallow in your heart. You'll never get that deep inside the water, girl. You'll never get that deep.
Puddles. Everybody now puddles. Everybody get up because you get down.
You know when you're standing in the puddle, you don't know where to go because you're so deep. You don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how wet I am because I'm so wet. That's who I am. I'm so wet. Wet. I'm so wet. I'm so wet. I'm so wet. Now come on in.
Puddles. Puddles.
Everybody now puddles, puddles. Everybody get up because you get down and then everyone will come over here.
Yep, not bad.